Killer Innovations Podcast for Wednesday, April 13th, 2005. Show number 5.
Scene 1, Apple, take 1.
Hello, this is Phil McCain. Welcome to the podcast. For those of you who are regular listeners to the Killer Innovations Podcast, you're going to figure out pretty quickly that this podcast is coming on the heels of the last one, which I sent out last Sunday, April 10th, I believe. I'm still here in London, just coming off of some travel to Sweden and to Germany. Got back here to London, was sitting here in the hotel, the lovely Marriott Hotel here at Heathrow, and sketched out some content for the upcoming podcast. Got pretty excited about it, so thought, what the heck, I'll just hop on and put together this podcast and get it posted up here right away. In addition, I'm not quite sure what my travel schedule is going to be like for the next 6 or 7 days, and I didn't want to have a real long gap between the podcasts, so again, just thought I'd put one up there real quick for you. So first of all, before we get started, I wanted to say thanks for the feedback. Please continue to send emails, both with comments, feedbacks on the podcast, but also any questions or areas in the previous podcast that you want me to go into more detail in, or suggestions for topics, again, feel free to send those in. You can send me an email to podcast@philmckinney.com, or you can send get a hold of me via Skype. You can Skype me at phil_mckinney. I do have voicemail on the Skype account, so you should be able to get a hold of me there. And before we get any further, as usual, I do have to give the standard disclosure. So let's keep in mind that the opinions expressed in this podcast are mine alone and do not necessarily reflect those of my past, current, or future employers. So for those of you, again, who are regular listeners, you're probably getting pretty tired of the disclaimer. Based on some feedback that I got from a couple of the listeners, we're going to change the format of the podcast just slightly. So I'm going to try this out on this particular podcast show. So, you know, give me feedback. But what we're going to do is we're going to try to cover, rather than just doing one topic really deep, we're going to probably have a couple of different topics in the podcast. So, for instance, on this podcast today, we're basically going to cover three areas. One is still going to talk about the killer innovation processes, tools, kind of little things, rules of the road, things I've learned, just to kind of share with you at least what has worked and what hasn't worked for me. Secondly, talk a little bit about trends, ideas, idea sources, kind of sparks. These are kind of what I would call observations or insights, things that I kind of find are kind of intriguing and interesting that hopefully will cause all of us to think a little bit, and maybe for one of the listeners actually spark a creative idea. And then third is to present one of the killer questions. For those of you who are new listeners, back in one of the earlier podcasts, I talk about the idea or the key concept that to really generate a great idea, you need to have really good questions or killer questions. And over my career, I've built up a deck of about 75 killer questions that I've used in my career to help break the old thought patterns and help trigger some new creative ideas. So at the end of each podcast, we'll be presenting one of these killer questions and also some examples of how that killer questions can be applied to a variety of different ideas. So again, what we're going to go through is talk a little about the innovation process, tools and such. Second, we'll talk a little about trends, ideas, kind of the sparks. And then third, we'll still present and talk through the killer question. So, kind of item one, talking about the killer innovation process. In the last podcast, the one that came out on the 10th, I was discussing really the whole process of the killer innovation workshop, how to structure it, kind of my experience on running kind of quote brainstorming sessions, how to get a much higher quality of ideas from these kind of brainstorming activities. And during that podcast, I talked about really one of the things that I've developed and has proven out to be very successful, very helpful, is how do you prioritize the ideas? So you come up with hundreds of ideas. What's the trick as far as filtering through all of those ideas in order to try to find the top three or four, and have confidence that those three or four really are the best ones that you've come up with, rather than people getting personal likes and personal dislikes. So what I came up with is really a series of questions around the evaluation process. And what I've done in these sessions is I print these questions up on a big, huge poster that we mount on the wall. And the questions are down the left-hand side, and then there's columns. And across the top, there's probably three, four, five columns. And once you've gone through the Killer Innovation Workshop, and each team has ranked and generated the top five of their ideas, then they get filled in on this chart. And then literally, as you go through each question, you vote for each idea against each question. So what are these questions? Well, they basically come in three groupings. The first one is this really a killer innovation? So the questions that I ask when I'm really looking to see if the idea that I've come up with is really a killer innovation is the first one. What is the eventual breakthrough impact on the market? Second question is the innovation radically new or different? We don't want copycats. You don't want kind of the incremental, okay, the innovation is it used to be blue and now it's red. Is this innovation radically new or different? The third question is, does anyone really care about the innovation? Does it really matter? Or is this innovation about into some area that, really you can't even ignite the emotion or the passion of the customer? And then the last question is will it attract an early critical mass? So again, these are the four questions in, is this really a killer innovation? What is the eventual breakthrough impact on the market? Is the innovation really new or different? Does anyone really care about the innovation? And will it attract an early critical mass? The second grouping of questions as part of this evaluation is will we make money? As I've said before, you're either in a business or a charity. And if you're in a for-profit business, you better figure out how to make money. So will the innovation make money? And there's really two questions, real simple. How quickly can other companies copy us? Meaning, if you come up with an idea that is a killer innovation, but that literally anybody else in the market can come in and immediately copy you, then the value that you're going to extract from that, or how you're going to make premium money from that, is going to be severely limited. Second question is do we have the structural attributes to be a shaper? Meaning, can we control the definition of how this killer innovation is going to be taken to market? How the value chain is going to be defined? How the revenue is going to be generated? How customers are going to be supported? Do we have the structural attributes to be a shaper? And then the third grouping of questions is can we pull it off organizationally? And this tends to be the real roadblock or stumbling block for many organizations. So, particularly larger organizations. So, the two questions are, what current advantage would we have to give up to pursue the innovation? There's no such thing as a free lunch, right? So, if you're going to go after opportunity A, You're going to have to give up some opportunity B. So, what current advantage would we have to give up to pursue this innovation? And the second one is can we get our groups excited? Can the idea that you've come up with ignite the imagination and the passion of your management team, of your fellow workers? Is this such an idea where you just get people flocking to you, wanting to be part of the team to help make this really happen? So, with these questions, and let's say you've narrowed down the list to, some number of ideas, then the question comes down is how do you vote? So for each of these questions, so what is it? There's eight questions. So for each of these questions, you have each person in the workshop cast votes. So, if you ask the question, what is the eventual breakthrough impact on the market? If you look at your five ideas, which of those ideas has the most likely chance of really having a real breakthrough impact on the market? Which of those ideas is ranked second in that area? Same applies to all of the questions. Then it simply becomes down to totaling the value for each idea against these questions to come up with the rank list. It's amazing when you look at the results at how that ranking really plays out in being able to be used as a very good filter. And if you have, let's say, a top 25 ideas list coming from three or four teams, so each team is giving you their top four or five ideas. You now have 25 ideas and you need to rank them. You quickly see where the top three or four ideas are quickly bubbled up to the top, and then there's usually a big gap, and then there's a whole grouping of the remaining ideas. So I found that using this approach is really good at being able to quickly filter the top two or three ideas. Now, there are some cautions I want to give you on doing the voting. I've done this a couple different ways when I've actually done some of these workshops, and one of the things I have found is if I mount this poster as I described before on the wall, and I start having people come up and just mark their votes on the poster, you run the risk of getting into herd mentality. So if all of a sudden the first four or five people run up and cast their votes, and they all start casting their votes for the similar set of ideas, you soon find that a lot of the other people in the group start following the leader, following those first three, four, five people, and casting the votes for the same set. And so therefore, to try to avoid this kind of influence, rather than having people walk up and cast their votes, what I typically do is actually collect the ideas, quickly put them onto an Excel spreadsheet, print out the spreadsheet, give them to everybody, and have everybody just vote on the sheet themselves. Then take those information, put it back into the Excel spreadsheet, and then you can quickly total them up. This way, you really do get a more independent vote perspective. You don't get tied up into kind of this herd mentality of some senior guy or the guy who's dominating the workshop session running up there first and casting his votes and starting the follow the leader approach. So that's just again kind of a lessons learned based on some of my experience with the ranking. So hopefully you find that useful. If you have questions or if you have alternative approaches that you've used on trying to take a large list of ideas and get them ranked down to identifying the best ones, let me know. Love to share it. Okay. So for the second topic of the podcast, talking about kind of the interesting trends or interesting insights or kind of sparks to help generate some ideas. What I want to talk about here really is kind of this interesting analysis of demographics. I've always been interested in kind of how do demographers break up society. I mean, we've all seen it where you're either part of the boomer generation or the Gen X generation, whatever the case might be. But it's interesting when you look at how demographers really start looking at the markets, or us as consumers, or businesses. Are you part of the Global 1000? Are you whatever the case might be? And if you go off and you look at how these segments are identified, a variety of industries have done specialized versions of these demographic segments. And others have tried to standardize them in some way. So what I'm going to do is I've come up with and have acquired kind of a short list of some of the more interesting demographic segments. And as I go through, I'm going to give you kind of the shorthand name that demographers and marketing and salespeople use. And we'll see if you can figure out what those segments are. But from a standpoint of generating the spark and generating the idea, think about each of these segments and think about what are the unique characteristics of these segments. What are their needs? What are their fears? What are their wants? What are their desires? And see if any of these, might open up an opportunity for whatever ideas, you are currently working on. So I'll start off with some easy ones. So yuppies. So what's a yuppie? It's a young urban professional. So the younger, early crew, early sets of people in the work coming into the work environment, have lots of cash, typically no children, really focused on the early progress of their career. What about yuffies? So what's a yuffie? Well, a yuffie is what we call a young urban failure. And these are, again, young individuals coming, just beginning their careers, but their salary base that they're earning doesn't really pay for what it costs for them to live. So these are people who have either who are living, with roommates, who are either still living at home, who literally are living hand to mouth, are again an interesting demographic when you think about what their needs, wants, and fears are. So yuffies, young urban failures. What about mobies and dobies? So what's a moby and a doby? Well, a moby is a what's called a mommy older, baby younger. So this is women who are waiting later in life to have children. And the same thing with dobies. So doby is a daddy older, baby younger. So this is kind of the trend of individuals waiting till later in life to begin having their family. They typically have more money saved up to prepare for this family. They've kind of lived their life at a younger age, and have now decide to kind of settle down and start having that family. What about woofs? What's a woof? Well, a woof is what's called well-off older folks. So a woof is somebody who's raised their family, have gotten them through college, have got them married and on their own. Now they're kind of maybe not in retirement, but they are clearly empty nesters, have all of a sudden, as my friends will quickly point out to me, that post children you get an automatic raise, even if you don't get a raise from your employer, just by the fact that you get the kids, quote, off the payroll. So these are the woofs. What about skippies? What's a skippy? Skippy is school kids with income and purchasing power. And interestingly enough, skippies are have a huge amount of influence on what gets purchased for consumable food, drink, household goods in most homes. And most of the Skippies who have a lot of this purchasing power are the teenage girls, with both the mothers and fathers working or possibly single parent homes. It's typically the girls or the teenagers in the house who pick up some of the chores in order to go out and do some of the chores of shopping, etc. What about sandwichers? If you're a sandwicher, what is that? Well, a sandwicher is really what is an adult that's caught between caring for their children and their older parents. So this is typically couples that have still children at home, but the parents or in-laws have become ill or who need extra assistance. So in this case, individuals who are having to support and provide assistance to both the parents and taking care of the children. Growing phenomena given the aging population, and sandwichers are clearly going to be a growing segment of the market as the aging and the health special needs of the older generation continues to grow. And the last one I have is actually a new one that my wife actually found and gave to me. She read it someplace, and she knows that I kind of like and look at unique ways of looking at the population in these kinds of categories. So this last one is called NEET. NEET, NEET. So what's NEET? NEET is someone not in employment, education, or training. So this is a whole segment of the population that's not currently working, they're not going to school or any kind of an education, and they're not in training. So this is the NEET are truly the people who are not in the workforce of any kind, meaning they're not being trained for a new career, they're not going to school, and they're not currently working. And so these are people that are either underskilled, underutilized, or in some cases may choose not to work at all. An interesting demographic, and again, one that is that's growing. So hopefully, by looking at some of these segments, these are just a short subset of ones that are out there. But hopefully, was running through this list, you were thinking about what are the unique needs of these segments? What's different about them? What are the fears, wants, and desires? And there are entire segments of the market that are underserved in a variety of different markets and segments. So, for instance, in the NEET category, if you were a mobile phone operator, what are some of the things that you could provide into that category of the NEET, such that you could provide and support them early when they need that kind of help, such that you build that brand loyalty once they are back into the workforce or whatever their path is. So there are a variety of different ideas that can be generated just by looking at these wide range of market segments. So as we move into the next segment, for those of you who are regular listeners, you know that we are have been covering what we call killer questions at the end of the podcast. And so tonight I went through the deck of the about 75 killer questions that I've collected up and pulled this one out specifically just from the standpoint of it's relevant to a variety of different activities that I've got going on right now. So what's tonight's or this podcast killer question is, what do people not like about the process of purchasing my product or service? What do people not like about the process of purchasing my product or service? None of us have kind of the perfect purchasing experience in whatever we buy. Go buy a car, you go buy whatever. In my case, buying house. I mean, I will do just about anything to avoid going through the experience of buying a house. So whether that's, it takes too long, it's pricing, negotiation, whatever the case might be. What do people not like about the process of purchasing my product or service? And this is a tough question because you need to be truly and brutally honest with yourself when you think about the customers. So let me give you a little bit of an example, and this is an example of some work that I've done, years ago, but I think it still applies. We've all been and all have probably stood in line at Starbucks, particularly during the morning rush, trying to get our coffee. And the one thing we all try to avoid is the long lines. Well, Starbucks picked up on this early on, and in Seattle and I think throughout the state of Colorado and a couple of others, they've been experimenting or had experimented with a service called Starbucks Express. So to sign up, you went to the website, and it used to be starbucksexpress.com. I don't think that's still valid anymore. But basically, you could create a prepaid account on Starbucks Express. And then you also at the website set up what your first most likely options of drinks are. So I want and this kind of a drink with this with foam and whatever accoutrements you want with the drink. And then you also set up the stores that you visited. So here's this store number one was this store at this address, which is near your house. Store number two is this store that happens to be near your work. Store three is the one near the mall where you go on the weekends. And then quickly with Starbucks, you could pick up your mobile phone in the morning, you dialed basically an IVR, and you literally had to press, five keys. You identified yourself, it actually picked it up from your caller ID. You identified what drink you want and what store you wanted to pick it up at. And then literally you pulled up to the store and your drink was made with your name on the cup. And it was sitting on the edge of the counter. You could bypass the line, walk up, pick up the drink, and leave. And the cost of that drink was automatically deducted from your prepaid account that you've set up. So, one, it turned out to be a phenomenal success from the standpoint of Starbucks. And in fact, in the trial in Seattle, when Starbucks notified the customers that they wanted to turn it off, there was literally a revolt. Customers liked the service so much. But there was also a side benefit back to Starbucks. Not only were the customers happier and you reduced the lines, but it also reduced the real estate. In the case of Starbucks, Starbucks determines when it needs to add a new store is when the line is consistently out past the door. So if you ever notice, Starbucks lines never get out past the door, very rarely. Because when the line is consistently past the door, that's when Starbucks goes off looking for the next location in the area. And that's why, in some cases, such as downtown New York, you'll see Starbucks literally across the streets from each other from the standpoint of during rush hour, they do not want the lines out past the door. So, in this case, by putting together this service to not only ease the wait for customers who want to get access to their coffees in the morning and not have to wait in line, so increasing significantly customer satisfaction. It also reduced Starbucks' needs for new real estate since they were able to actually serve more customers in a given store location without the need to have to trigger expanding the stores in the area. So again, killer innovation question is, what do people not like about the process of purchasing my products or services? And again, you need to be brutally honest. Because there is no product or service out there that is perfect from the standpoint of the overall experience model. And with that, we're coming up on almost 30 minutes, so we're going to wrap up this show. Again, thank you for listening. If you have feedback, please email it to me at podcast@philmckinney.com. And as always, please feel free to vote whatever podcast directory, whether it was Podcast Alley or Podcast Pickle or any of the podcast directories, whichever one you use. If they have a voting mechanism, please vote. We're actually, I saw a number of new votes on Podcast Alley for the podcast, so I do appreciate that. You can vote once per month. And actually, at the beginning of the month, they get reset to zero, so you actually have to vote each and every month. And again, I appreciate the support and I look forward to putting the next podcast up, hopefully this weekend, if not early next week, from lovely Las Vegas. Thanks again. We'll talk to you soon.